This morning I'm going to speak to you on the subject of the kingdom of God, which is a broad subject. As we normally do, we're just going to kind of read some scriptures and comment on them and have some things to say as the Lord leads. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 23, the Bible tells us about Jesus. When he came to this earth as representing the God the Father, he went about all of Galilee. This Matthew 4:23 says he went about all of Galilee. Is actually he went everywhere. That he everywhere he went, he taught. And as he was teaching, sometimes on the streets, but many times in their synagogues, he was teaching and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Gospel means good news. He was preaching the good news, gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of diseases among the people. In Mark chapter 1, verse 14, after John, this is John the Baptist, was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. And what he was saying as he was preaching this gospel was something that was very interesting. The time is fulfilled. God had prophesied in the Old Testament that there was coming a time, although the kingdom of God is not mentioned in the Old Testament. And we realize that God is God of everything. Amen. Sees everything, knows everything. But what the Old Testament didn't know and what Jesus came revealing was that God was setting up a kingdom, a special kingdom, which he called the kingdom of God. And he says when he started preaching, he said, the kingdom is God, the God is at hand. In other words, God is about to do something in this time and in this generation that he's never done before. He's going to set up a kingdom. He said this later on in a couple of places when they said, the disciples and some others said to us, Jesus, well, show us the Father and we'll be happy. He said, have I been so long time with you and yet you don't realize who I am? He that has seen me has seen the Father. He that has seen me has seen God. He was saying he was God in the flesh. The Bible tells us that Mary was impregnated by the Holy Spirit and that the Holy Spirit would come upon her and that holy thing that would be born of her would be called the child of God, the uniquely begotten child of God. And the Bible tells us that God so loved the world, and I'm going to paraphrase this, that God so loved us. How many me's do we have here this morning? God so loved you that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever would put their trust in him would not perish, wouldn't have to perish. They'd be saved. So I think it's a wonderful thing that Jesus came and died for the sins of the whole world. That is every human being that's ever lived from the time of Adam and Eve, including Adam and Eve, until the end of the time. Jesus died for all of their sins. And we know, if we think about it, and the Bible tells us, for all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Amen? We can't even get past the first commandment, myself included. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and your mind and all your soul. We can't even do that, much less love our neighbor as we love ourselves. So if you're trying, if anybody's ever told you that you can be saved and you can become a part of the kingdom of God by doing good works or keeping commandments, the Ten Commandments, they're telling you a lie. They're false deceivers, because the only way you can be saved is by one man, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Amen? There are no others whereby we can be saved. There's no other name under heaven given among God whereby we must, underscore must, be saved. So Jesus died for the sins of the whole world. So he came preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and he was saying, the time is fulfilled. Verse 15 of Mark chapter 1. And the kingdom of God is at hand. And he's saying two things that the Gospels always say and always teach and always preach. And that is, how do we enter the kingdom of God? Is it by doing good? No. Is it by joining the church? No. Is it by doing whatever religious things that people tell us we need to do? No. Jesus said there's two ways that we enter into the kingdom of God. The first way is repent. Now, we don't like to hear that, do we? Have we broken the law? Have we broken the Ten Commandments? Then repentance means we need to confess the fact that we have. That's to repent, but it means more than that. It doesn't just mean to say, Lord, I've sinned. It means, repentance means that I acknowledge my sin against God, and if I've done anything or said anything against my brothers or sisters, I acknowledge my sin. And I want to repent. I want to turn away from that sin. I want to acknowledge my sin, and I don't want to do that anymore. And I realize that God is going to have to do something in me, because if he doesn't do something in me, my old flesh is going to rise up, and I'm going to sin a whole lot more. Amen. So the next step was, if we repent, that means acknowledge our sins, confess our sins. The Bible tells us to confess our sins one to another. Now, being a preacher, I wouldn't want to confess my sins to some of you. I don't know if it's any of y'all here, but you don't either. The Bible doesn't say confess our sins. It says confess our faults one to another. Amen? Because I don't want mine, as one lady did many, many years ago, trying to get me in trouble as I was pastoring the church. She put in the Ingleside Index. Brother Lewis was seen swimming out at Old Ingleside Sunday morning. It wasn't Sunday morning, it was Sunday afternoon. But I wasn't out there swimming. My father-in-law had cranked up his boat and started out of Old Ingleside and had run into a pole sticking up out of the ground on this high. He had jammed his boat into the going full blast. It threw him out, and he lost his glasses, and he, of all people, chose me to go out Sunday afternoons to the spot to see if I could find his glasses. That was a hopeless case, but I went out there and looked around. I mean, you can't see anything, so. Yeah, but they accused me of swimming on a Sunday. Not that I've been swimming on Sunday afternoon. It doesn't make any difference. You know, God doesn't say don't do this and don't. He doesn't say, you read anywhere he says don't go swimming on Sunday afternoon? I hadn't either. There's a lot of things religious people want us to do or condemn us because of what we do, and that the Bible doesn't really have any whole lot of things to say about. Are you with me? So the first thing that the Lord tells us to do is to repent. That is to have a change of mind towards our sins And then the next thing he tells us to do in that passage of Scripture is to what? Believe. Believe the gospel. Believe, what do we believe? We believe the gospel. So, what is the gospel? What is the good news? The gospel. The good news is basically this. We can't save ourselves. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. So God so loved us that He sent His only... This is the good news, that God so loved us that He sent His only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in Him and put their trust in Him, His death and burial, resurrection, His death on the cross, His shedding of His blood, His burial and His resurrection, we would be saved. So if we repent and realize we need forgiveness of sins, then the next thing, we believe what God says. That's faith. I have to believe what God says. But like God, like Jesus said to the woman of the well that was taken in adultery, you see, I want to pause there just a minute. I'll get back to wherever I'm supposed to be. I'm where I'm supposed to be right now, or I wouldn't be here, right? Amen? The scribes and the Pharisees, they kept the law of the Moses, I mean to a T. Paul was one of those people. He said he was a scribe of the scribe and a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He went around persecuting and killing people, Christians, because they were going against the law of God, and he had never heard such a thing in his life. And God knocked him off of his horse or his camel or whatever he was on and said, "Hey, big boy, come with me. I got something I want to tell you." And immediately he said, "Who are you, Lord?" And God changed his life and changed his name from Saul to Paul. Anyways, the scribes and the Pharisees in Jesus' day, Paul being one of them, they kept the Ten Commandments. They went so far as tithing the little herbs and the little things, the many herbs and things that grew in their gardens, they tithed 10% of that. They were stricklers for the law. And they liked nothing better than to come to Jesus and give Him a hard time, because He was against them and their law and all they were seeing and the way they were acting. In fact, He told them a couple of times, "Fools, how can you escape the damnation of hell? You're not going in, and neither are those that listen to you are going in." So it's not a religious thing. That's what Jesus was saying. It's something God has to do. Amen. The good news is that God, through His Son, wants to do something in our lives. He wants to give us the power and the ability, so not just we repent and ask and acknowledge our sin and confess to God that we're sorry and would He please help us, but He's also acknowledged that He would come into us by the power of the Holy Spirit, change our lives, and we would become a new creation in Christ Jesus. And that's what it means to be born again. When He was talking to Nicodemus, one of the leaders, the rulers of the Jews in his day, he came to him by night because he wanted to be seen by his fellow believers, because they might ostracize him and kick him out of the church, his religion. He came to Jesus by night, and he said, "Lord, we know you're a good man come from God, because nobody can do the things that anybody does except God be with him. Nobody does what you're doing." And Jesus said, and he got into the kingdom of God, and Jesus said to Nicodemus, "Except a man be born again, he cannot be saved." And Nicodemus said, because he's thinking like normal, regular human beings, he said, "Lord, they can't enter back into their mother's womb and be born again. What are you talking about?" And Jesus said, "Except he be born to the flesh and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. In other words, God wants to do through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and through his death, burial, and resurrection, and through his precious blood, forgive us and do a work in us that's called a new birth so that we can be born again and enter into God's kingdom. Amen? And when we do that, we're in God's kingdom. Amen? So let's read on. This gets better and better as we go along. Amen? This is the good news. It's God's good news. It's Jesus' good news. So in Mark 1:15, he says, the time is fulfilled. So the time is now. It's still time. As long as the gospel is being preached, and wherever it's being preached, if those that hear it will repent and believe God, and believe the gospel and the good news, then they will be saved, because the door is still open until Jesus comes back and closes it. Amen. And if you know the signs of the times, then that's another story. We get into preaching on the end times and talking about what all is going on in this world today. And I can tell you, in 1948, one of the last prophecies that had to be filled before Jesus could come back happened in Israel in 1948. I don't have time to go there. Let's go to Colossians chapter 1, verse 12. Colossians chapter 1, verse 12 says, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet. Everybody say us or me. He's made me meet. That means he's made me acceptable. He's made me and anyone else who has repented and believed the gospel, he's made them able to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Wow. The saint, how many of you are Christians? Well, then look at somebody and say, I'm saint. We have Saint W.A., we have Saint Rachel, we have Saint, are you Saint Louis? That's a city. We're not saints because we're trying to be saints or because we're being good. We're saints because God has made us saints. He's translated us and delivered us from the power of darkness, and he's translated into the kingdom of his dear Son. Amen. He's made us partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Verse 13 of Colossians chapter 1. Who, that is God. God is the who here. And his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Look what he's done for us as saints and partakers and inheritance of the gospel and the kingdom of God. He has delivered us from the power of darkness. He has done this. Everybody say Jesus, God. He's done this. He's delivered us from the power of darkness, and he has translated me into the kingdom of his dear Son. Now, at 18 years old, 19, whenever I was wild as a March hare, my dad was really happy whenever he signed the papers. I wanted to go into the military, and so he signed the papers for me to go into the military, and I never seen such a smile on his face when he did that, because he was ready to get rid of Lewis Cowan, because I was a pain in his rear end. I was the oldest of seven in my family. And I set a good example as to what not to be. So, when I went into the military, I didn't know anything about all this, but at the age of 19, because I married a girl, my wife, who said, if you marry me, you're going to quit all of this running around and getting drunk. I don't go with anybody that drinks. And you're going to start going to church with me. I said, oh, Lord. I was already a church member. I had been baptized in the Baptist church when I was 12 years old. But I didn't have the foggiest idea of what that meant. So I said, well, yeah, because I loved her, I'll go to church with you. Well, I started hearing some sermons, and the first thing you know, God had got a hold of my heart. And so in a church about this size and about this many people coming, there may be a few more on a Sunday morning, I walked down to the altar and knelt down at the altar, and I said, Lord, forgive me of my sins. I want to be saved. I didn't realize at that point what had happened to me. While I'm telling you, what I'm telling you now, you know, I've been preaching for 60-some-odd years. But later on, as I got, and the first thing I had was a hunger for the Word of God. I bought me a Bible. I couldn't even afford it. I was in the military. I had to go down to a bookstore and charge it. But when I got it, I started reading it. And that's one of the first things that I discovered that happened to me. I had repented. I had believed what God said in His about His gospel. And the day that I called upon the name of the Lord, that moment I was born again by the Spirit of God into the kingdom of God. And boy, that thrilled me. I was so happy. And I'm going to tell you right now, have I been perfect since then? Well, anybody believe that? You believe anything anybody will tell you. No, I haven't. But I have been perfect in Christ. And therein lies the difference. And God has worked in me from that day until this day. My next birthday, I'll be 86. For those of you who want to know how old I am, if it makes any difference one way or another. Some people say, well, you're going to live to be 90. Well, I'm not sure I want to do that or not. As long as I'm healthy and getting around and blowing and going like I am now, well, I'm all right. But I don't want to be the other way. Like I told Brother Scott the other day, and I told people, the greatest thing that could ever happen to me is for me to be in church preaching and teaching God's Word and just to fall over. And then y'all could go plant my body in the ground because I'm not here anymore. This is just my earth suit. You know, like a space suit? This is what I'm living in, so y'all, and y'all are the same thing. You're a spirit. You're not a body. As the body without the spirit is dead, the Bible says, so faith without works is dead also. So when a person dies, that's just what we're seeing in the coffin is just where they used to live. They're gone. They're absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Amen? Amen. Well, that's good news. Amen? Praise God for that. So, I was born again. Let's go to another passage of Scripture. And I'm just sharing some Scripture with you here this morning. I was going to preach something else, but I'm just sharing Scripture. Amen? So let's go to Romans 14, chapter 17. Romans 14, chapter 17. And he's going to tell us what the kingdom of God isn't and what the kingdom of God is. So everybody wants to know what the kingdom of God isn't and what the kingdom of God is. And it's a very brief description. Romans 14, verse 17 says, for the kingdom of God, and this is God's word that I'm speaking here this morning, and this is what it says in this chapter of Romans 14, verse 17, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. So let me stop right there. I just want to, so you'll understand fully what that means, because there's a lot of religions in the world that means that you got to quit drinking, you got to quit smoking, you got to quit doing this and playing golf or whatever it is. And the rules vary from denomination to church, from denomination to denomination, from church to church, and from religion to religion. But Jesus said in His Word, it's not any of those things. Are you listening to me? What did he say again? The kingdom of God is not meat and drink. It's not abstaining or eating meat and drink. Well, what is it? If it's not meat and drink or do's and don'ts, what is it? It is the righteousness. It is righteousness. Anybody say righteousness? The Bible says that if you're a Christian and if you've been born again, that we as believers are made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. God doesn't look upon us for our righteousness. He looks upon us as His children because of the righteousness of His Son. And His Son is made unto us wisdom, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30, wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. His Son has made all of those to us. So if anybody says, well, you think you're going to go to heaven? Well, you smoke, or you drank a beer, or I saw you watching something you're not supposed to be watching, or saying something you're not supposed to be saying, or cussing, and I blah, blah, blah. And that doesn't mean I can go and by free will and do those things. I don't want to do those things anymore. Used to I live that way, but I don't want to do that anymore. Why? Because I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. It's not my righteousness. It's not because I quit doing things. It's a righteousness of God that makes me acceptable in His kingdom. And not only that, pours out the blessings upon us, His blessings. He becomes our Heavenly Father. He gives us His Holy Spirit. He gives us peace and joy and love and understanding. He wants to take care of us. As Jesus said when He was on earth and He was talking to the scribes and the Pharisees and the people, He said, what father of you that have a son, and if he comes to you and he wants a fish, you'll hand him a serpent? Or if he wants a loaf of bread, you hand him a rock or whatever. He said, if you, being relatively evil in comparison to God, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? You with me? So God's for you. He's not against you. And He doesn't want you to be religious. He just wants you to be a Christian, born again by the Spirit of God, and enjoy your Heavenly Father and His provisions for you on this earth. Amen? Praise God. That's good news. That's the gospel. Amen. Boy, God has done so many things for me over the years. I can't even begin. If I started telling you all the things that God's done for me, and it just doesn't have to do with religion. It has to do with my children. It has to do with automobiles. It has to do with my finances. It has to do with my jobs. It has all of those things. It has to do with my health. It has to do with my mind. It has all of these things. God wants to do all of these things for all of us, all of His children. And He will. We just have to trust Him and pray. He said, we have not because we ask not. Amen. How many of you ask God for a car? I don't want to see a girl raise his hands, or for a house, or for a job, or any other, for your children, to take care of them, protect them, or whatever. It doesn't just have to do with religious things. It has to do with everything in our lives God has given us. So what is the kingdom of God? If it's not meat and drink, what is it? It's righteousness. Everybody say righteousness. It's peace. Everybody say peace. It's joy. Everybody say joy. In the Holy Ghost. Amen. That's what we're supposed to enjoy. We're supposed to enjoy the presence of God. I found out I could talk to Him about anything. And let me tell you this. He knows about everything in all of our lives. There's not anything you can tell him he doesn't know. He even knows what you think. In fact, he knows the number of hairs on your head. Now, that would be easier for him with some of us. But it doesn't make any difference how many we have, he knows. And that's just not so we'll know he can count. That's so we'll know that if he knows the numbers of hairs on our head, he cares about us. He loves us. He wants the best for his children. Can I tell you a car story right quick? Our youngest daughter, she's not here this morning, but as I did with most of my children, I furnished them a car whenever they got to be seniors or juniors or when they started running around and needed transportation, because I was working for an engineering company and I was making good money. They pay engineers pretty good. I wasn't classified as an engineer, but I was actually managing engineers because I'd been in construction for so long and I knew so many different things. And I'm not bragging on myself. I'm bragging on God. He put me in that position. But anyway, I bought her a car, brand new Plymouth Saparo, brand new. And she had a job and she was going to make, I was going to buy it. She's going to make the payments on it. Well, a few months later, about 7 or 8 months later, here she came with her boyfriend, said, "Dad, we want to get married. We're asking for your blessings." And oh, by the way, he already has a car. So I'm giving this one back to you. I said, wow. So I'm paying for a truck. I'm paying for my wife a car. Now I'm paying for a car that I don't even drive that my daughter used to have. And I'm kind of strapped, you know. So I ran ads in the paper, and I did everything under the sun to try to sell. I was doing a lot of work as a Title II inspector at the Naval Air Station, and I even went around out there and put notes on the board, on all the bulletin boards of different places that I could get into, CCAD and the military and the Air Force, and I mean the Navy and all. And I had been doing that for 3 or 4 months, and the car hadn't sold, one day I told my boss, "I've got to leave the base. I've got to go. I have a church member that's in jail." I think he was a church member. Anyway, it was a member of our church that had somebody who was in jail, and I was going to go down there and talk to him. And I had to take my lunch hour off so I could go down there and be gone a little extra. Anyway, long story short, I was driving down there. SPID going towards downtown Corpus Christi to go to the jailhouse, and it was just like the Lord came and sat down in the church, in the seat beside me. He was in the passenger seat, and I didn't see him. I had been talking to the Lord, because I always talked to him, "Well, Lord, what do I need to say to this person? What do you want to say to this person? What do they need? How can I help them? How do you want to help them?" I'm asking him all these questions. So, see, my ministry doesn't depend on me. It depends on him. He's the minister. I'm just the nut screwed onto the right bolt. Amen? So he sat down there, and I just like he was there, and I was asking him all these questions. And so you know how human beings are. And he was about to leave because he had already explained some things to me in my conscious, subconscious mind and my spirit. He had spoken to me some things that I needed to know and who to talk to. And I start thinking, well, now that I've got him in a good mood, and he's right here sitting in my car, I want to ask him, what about this Plymouth that I can't seem to get rid of? And he knew exactly what I was doing. And as he slipped out the door and left, he looked back and he said, "It'll be taken care of tomorrow at noon." Now, I'm telling you this story because I'm not an exceptional person. I'm just one of God's children, just like you are. what he does for any of his children, he will do for you. You listening to me? That's why I'm telling you this story. The next day at noon, I sold that car because I looked at my watch and it was exactly 12 o'clock when the guy gave me a check. Amen? When God wants to share our lives and we're one of his children, he doesn't want to just talk to us about religious things and doctrinal things and things about the Bible and all that. He does want to talk to us about those things, but he wants to talk about anything that concerns you and me. God says, if you're one of his children, cast all of your cares, everything that concerns you or is trying to worry you or bother you, cast all your cares upon him because he cares for you. That's one of the greatest benefits. That's where God's peace comes from. The enemy comes and brings all of these things and tries to fill us with doubt and fear and worry and frustration because all of these things are going on in our life. We just talk to God about it and cast all of that on him and say, Lord, help us. And boy, he does. Amen? And the first way he helps us, he takes away that fear and doubt and he gives us the peace of God that passes all understanding. And it may not happen right away, but we know it's in his hands and he's going to take care of it in his time. Amen? That's what God wants to do for all of his children. Yeah, I guess you can understand now why I get excited about all this. I want to read one more passage of Scripture, I guess, then I'll shut up. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 20. You all need to remember this one. Because God says in his word, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 20, for the kingdom of God is not in word. It's not just in word. But when you enter the kingdom of God, you enter into power. Power. And he has the power to do all things. It's not your power, it's his power. It's not our power, it's his power. Kingdom of God is, you've entered into a powerful realm when you come into the kingdom of God. You enter into a God puts us into a powerful realm. Let me just say this in closing. Now, God wants us to, once we enter the kingdom of God, we're just like newborn babies. We have to grow. The Bible tells us to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's what the Bible tells us. Now, if we're just born again and we don't know a whole lot about God, and we don't know about his word, and he gives us power. You don't give let me just use this example. You don't give a child that's 4 years old or three, you don't give them a fully loaded pistol and just say, go out and start shooting somebody. Or a shotgun. Why? Because you may later on, as they get older, you may give them a gun so they can hunt birds or go whatever. Pistol to protect themselves. But you don't give it to them right then because they don't know what to do with it. And so how do we grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? We grow by studying the Word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. If we neglect the Word of God in our lives, the preaching and hearing of it, also the reading of it, more important, the reading of it. You say, well, I don't get much out of it. That's all right. Your spirit does. How many of you like chicken? Well, other than a full belly, what do you get out of it that you know about? You get some vitamins and minerals or something that goes on inside it, but you're not eating it because of that, right? Are you with me? Boy, My mom used to tell me all the time, broccoli, green beans, whatever. You know, Lewis, eat your spinach. Eat your whatever. I hated green. Well, she wasn't telling me to eat that because it tastes good and I was going to really enjoy it. God's telling us, read the Word. Get into the book. I don't know if you're going to enjoy it or even understand it. If you don't get your Bible dictionary, it'll help you. But get into it. And as you read it, it's going to nurture your spirit and your spirit man being, your spirit being, because not all of you are men. I understand that. Amen? There's neither male nor female. Incidentally, there's not males or females in the kingdom of God. Amen? So all of you that want to be men, well, you're whatever you are, you're not a man or you're not a female. If you want to be a female, well, then whatever you are, get in the kingdom of God. He makes you what He wants you to be. Amen. We got a lot of confusion about that nowadays. God help us. It's not your spiritual physical body He changes. It's your spiritual body, the spiritual man on the inside. Let's stand. Amen. God's good. Look at somebody and say, God's good. Say it like you mean it. Amen. God is good. Amen. He loves us. And in fact, tell somebody someday, whether you like it or not, God loves you anyway. You can still reject it, and you don't have to have anything to do with Him. He still loves you. He sent His Son to die for you. Amen. So if anybody wants to come to the altar and to pray, you can slip out, maybe rededicate your life or talk to the Lord. This church is not going to save you. I'm not going to save you. Coming to this altar is not going to save you, but talking to the Lord surely will if you're sincere about it. So if you want to do that right now, come as we're dismissed. Anybody wants to come to the altar to pray or pray for, maybe you want to come to pray for somebody else, maybe for a loved one or a family member, whatever. Come on out. Let's close right now as we close. If you want to come, come on. Father, as we come to this altar today, we come because you're here. And that's really the only thing that matters, that you're here. And that you said, if we call on you and ask you, you'll be right there. And you'll answer our prayers. And you'll touch us. And we can be born again if we need to, whatever. We have not because we ask not. So, Lord, we're just going to agree together with everyone in here that's praying. We're all praying about something or someone. We have family members and loved ones, ourselves and circumstances and situations in our lives that we bring and cast upon you because you care for us. And so, Lord, we lay hands on these that have come to this altar in agreement right now in Jesus' name. Receive it. Receive it right now. Just tell the Lord, I receive it in Jesus' name. Amen. Receive what God is answers to your prayers. Casting all your cares, receive it in Jesus' name. He's in control. He's taking care of it. Amen? Amen. And just give Him the thanks and the praise and the honor and the glory. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Praise God. Have a wonderful day, everybody.